one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
I think of the old statement I read many, many years ago. You can't preach cream and live, skim milk. Another one spoke up and said, no, and you can't come back from where you ain't never been. And that's right. And so you cannot divorce your believing from your behaving and your preaching. And Jesus came, he said, I came forth to preach. And he was the greatest preacher that this old world has ever known. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 61. To me, this is the golden-hearted and the golden-voiced preacher of the Old Testament. 61. Isaiah, I guess, didn't know that he was writing something that Jesus would really grab and preach. But he saw Jesus coming 750 years before he ever got here. He saw the suffering servant, gave it as recorded in Isaiah 53 and 7 and chapter 9 and verse 14. He saw Jesus. Now then, let's take the text. The Spirit of the Lord God's upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy. That's the joy oil. The joy oil. For mourning, the garment of praise, for the spirit of heaviness. Dear friends, the Holy Spirit wears the garment of praise. Now turn to Luke and let's see if Jesus ever came to that. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Here comes the preacher now. He's looking for a text. Here comes the only man that never sinned, sent from heaven, God's beloved Son, who was born of a virgin. And he wants the book. And he wants the Bible. He's going to preach his first sermon now. And he asked for something to read out, and they gave him the book of Isaiah. And so he took Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, and it's recorded in chapter 4. Now let's go back to the first part of the chapter first. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, that's the first requirement of a preacher, returned from Jordan, that's where he was, it's where he was obedient. He was baptized at Jordan. And I believe every preacher needs to be obedient. And he was led by the Spirit, whereabouts? Into the wilderness. That's where we're living now. We live in the wilderness. This is the wilderness right now. We're living in it now. And he was tempted 40 days. And he had a bout with the devil. And he defeated the devil with the word of God. Now then, after he's filled with the Spirit, after, it didn't say anything about going off to college, but he said he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he came back from Jordan, and he was led by the Spirit. He met the devil, defeated the devil. Now he's ready to go to preaching. And brother, far as I'm concerned, this is the steps that ought to make a preacher right here. He was sent of God, and now then he's going to take a text. Let's see what he preached on. He said, that was delivered, verse 17, that was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And here's what it said. The Spirit of the Lord's upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What was the first thing he did when the Holy Spirit got upon him? Started preaching. Because he hath anointed me. Oh, my preacher brethren today out across radio land and here in the service. If Jesus had to be anointed by the Spirit, what do you think about me and you? I mean, he was perfect. He had no sin. And he was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. He closed the book. And then he began to preach. And
He said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Notice something. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of the mouth. Did you get it? They didn't marvel at his wonderful appearance. They wondered at his words, his marvelous and gracious words. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? No, it's not Joseph's son. It's his foster son. That's the reason they got in so much trouble. They couldn't figure out he was God's son, see. And if you could convince me tonight, you hear me now. If you could convince me that Jesus was Joseph's son, I'd throw my King's James Bible at you and walk out of this building. And I'd close every home I've got and leave it with you. But you could never convince me that Jesus was not God's son. I could not live with a liar and get as excited about telling lies as I have for these 38 years. But he was not Joseph's son. He was God's son. Let's read on. Turn to the 36th verse. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word, not what a man, what a word. What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And notice, verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, and when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them, and healed them. Verse 43. And he said unto them, I must preach. I must preach. I must preach. Brother, he was the preacher. God sent Jesus in this old world to preach. Turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 10 and verse 27. Matthew 10 and verse 27. This is strange preaching. This is a strange pulpit. The 27th. 10, verse 27. Fear them not, therefore, for there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. Chapter 10 and verse 27. I missed it here somewhere. He's talking about the housetop preaching. He said, I want you to tell it on the housetop. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in the light. Yes. And what you hear in the ear, that preach you up on the housetops. Verse 27. Get on the housetop and preach it. That's an unusual place, but he said, tell it from wherever you are. And tell it and let it reach. That was before public address systems, I imagine, wasn't it? And he could reach more people from the housetop. Don't be ashamed. He said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul, or soul and body, in hell. Turn to another passage, chapter 14. Excuse me, Luke chapter 9 and verse 60. Now this is one that the world won't receive. This is where people are going to part company with me right here. This is the most drastic thing I know about preaching in the Bible. I know of nothing. Now Jesus is gathering some recruits and people are saying, I believe I'd like to go with you. Verse 57, Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. Looks to me like anybody could get a permit to go to a funeral, especially if it's his father. I'm talking about the most drastic thing I know, and that's the price of preaching. He said, suffer me first, or permit me. That's what the word suffer means in the King James Version. Permit me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. Go thou preach. Preaching's more important than funerals. That's the reason I got to preach the funerals. That's the reason I'm going to preach the gospel at the funeral time. Now we'll forget preaching that funeral for our good friend up in Tennessee who got killed in the car wreck. One of the greatest preachers of our generation. And Brother Bolden was some, Brother Bob was some preacher. I've never heard, I think, a preacher that could handle the Word of God more skillfully than that uneducated boy named Bob Bolden. God blessed him. He got killed in a car wreck. But I tell you what, and of course we had, I believe it was 300 preachers about that, that came, and people were gathered every which way. You never saw so many people, and we preached and gave an invitation and fell at the casket, and people got saved at the funeral. I believe that's what a funeral ought to be for. I tell you, I preached old Monty Stanfield's funeral, one of the greatest men I've ever known in my life. He and his dad saved, Brother Monty's boy, you know.
Brother Monty's been down here, and his boy, one of the most gracious men I've ever met in my life. I've wished often I could be more. He was younger than I, and I've seen the time when he'd just had a big grocery store in Henderson, Texas, and he'd just get out on the highway and just catch the first truck coming along just to go riding with him, win him to Christ. Ride till he went into Christ, go to Dallas, catch one coming back. I mean, he could have ridden in his own car, but I mean, he's just witnessing all over the country. Talk about a soul winner. And listen, first time we ever put the tent up out here, I mean, the devil nearly blew this town away. And that old tent didn't even have the side curtains. This big tent Brother Earl built, and that thing got swelled up and looked like it was going up. Just looked like it was absolutely going up. And I looked over, and old Monty Stanfield was just falling down on his knees. And those Latin Americans and everybody out there just fell down and began to pray. I believe that saved that tent that night. Trailers were blown away and in that storm that night, and yet that old tent stayed without even the side curtains up to keep the wind from getting under it. Oh, listen, I tell you, dear friends, we need people with real faith today. And Lord, he said, I want you to just let the dead bury their dead. The most important thing I'm trying to say is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now then, turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians. And it'd be impossible to read all the verses and chapters concerning the preaching of the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me unto me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. There's a curse of God on me if I preach not the gospel. Oh, what a call the Lord gave me when he called me to preach. And every preacher needs to know, and I sign many a letter to my preacher brethren, yours in the highest calling. Yours in the highest calling. Woe is unto me. Don't brag on me. God called me and put me into the ministry. And as Amos said, the Lord took me. And God took a preacher by the name of Jonah. And after he'd taken a boat ride and the fish ride, he hit the ground running to Nineveh and went through the city preaching one message on repentance. And a city of 600,000 souls in ignorance and heathenism were saved because of preaching. Preaching. The Bible said that the city of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. He was not a perfect man, but he preached a wonderful message of repentance, the message that we need today. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5 for just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. He said, we preach not ourselves. This is a great text. We preach not ourselves. I wish I could say we preach not our church. We preach not our denomination. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. No wonder God honored and blessed the preaching that he preached. And dear friends, I remind you that there's just one thing that God uses more than he does anything else. And that's the preaching of the Word of God. I long to see preaching again like we used to see it when the nation was great. I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 9. Chapter 9. The book of Acts chapter 9. They're giving a report. And I think we'll read a couple of verses to show you what they were talking about. Acts chapter 9 verse 20. Verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. He's the Son of God. That's costly preaching in the synagogue. He straightway preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now turn to the 27th verse and see what report we got. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. You see, Barnabas was the fellow that was always taking up for the underdog. And Paul was in trouble. See, Paul had been saved. You see, he'd just gotten saved and he was 3 days without sight and God took a hold of him and made a preacher out of him. And the fellows were afraid. They said, listen, we ain't got anything to do with him. That's a trick. He coming in here. Why, he upkilled Stephen. I mean, he held a close while Stephen died and while they stoned him to death. And Barnabas always took up. You remember when Paul came back and Mark had turned back on him and Mark said, I just these mosquitoes or something's getting me. He went on back home and Paul came back and then Paul got ready to go again and Mark said, I'm ready, got my suitcase packed. He said, you needn't pack it far as going with me. You're not going, big sissy, you. I'm not going to take anybody along and turn back on me. But out on the mission field, when I needed you and here you were trucking toward home, your mama's feather bed. Brother, you can just stay here. And old, I imagine Mark began to weep and cry and said, Brother Paul, I won't do it no more. And old Mark got him off, said, I tell you, you go with me. You go with me, we'll go. We'll fix us up a team, see? And of course, you know, Paul got him another partner. But don't forget,
Paul never had a permanent falling out with him, because you remember when he's over there, ready to go home to be with the Lord, he said, bring Mark with you. He said, he's profitable unto me. He's a fine boy. And I'm glad he put that in there, because somebody said, well, you see how to fall out never get straightened up. Listen, you silly outfit, you. If you're a Christian, you're not supposed to have any trouble with any other Christian. You don't get straightened out.
Amen.
I don't care who you are. Anytime you girls have a falling out, don't get straightened out, you don't act like you know Christ. And anytime any of our workers, and I don't know of any like that, but anytime any of our workers get to where we can't get along with each other, we act like we never have even been saved. I'll tell you, God's people ought to behave like God's people. And so notice how he convinced them. Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached. Ooh, you ought to hear that fellow preach. Well, that convinced them. They said, listen, I mean, Barnabas, he knew preaching. He knew preaching when he heard it. He said, let me tell you something, fella. If he hadn't been saved, he just couldn't preach the way he'd been preaching. And you know what? Preaching proved to them that Paul had been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I tell you, if a fella can preach, he can prove to the world he's saved. I mean, that's a proof of the preacher's salvation, is that he can preach and present the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I tell you, as I bring this message to a close tonight, preaching. Let me show you what you get through preaching. Number one, this is how important it is. It's so important that God wouldn't just let anybody preach. He calls his preachers, special preachers. Now, notice what kind he called. Not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise men after the flesh, that no flesh should glory in his presence. He calls, look like about the weakest things in the country. Hardly ever does God go get a lawyer or a speech teacher. You hardly ever, have you ever heard a man get up and said, well, I was teaching oratory in the college. I was the speech teacher. I taught them how to enunciate their words. I taught them how to speak and how to debate. You never hear. I never heard a man like that got called preaching in my life. I hear a lot of preachers get up and said, well, I was out there in the country and I was on the farm. And the one said, I was up a sycamore tree and God took me. And this little preacher said, I was on single old color and the Lord called me. And I mean, that's about the way the Lord does it. Why? That we wouldn't brag about it after we amounted to something for God and got something done for Him. That no flesh should glory in His. There's no place in the ministry of the pulpit for one of these proud peacock preachers. Not any at all. I mean, we have nothing to brag. Paul said, no honor to me. I mean, fact is, woe is me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I say, number one, God called preachers. I mean, what the old preachers used to say. I used to hear them sitting in the pews as a little kid. If you can stay out of the ministry and be happy, don't ever get into it. In other words, if you can be happy not preaching, you have no business preaching. But when God calls you to preach, He wants us to preach. Yes, what a calling. Why, I'd rather be a preacher than all the kings and presidents of the United States. I say with my hand raised to heaven, if they were to call me from the White House right now and say, Brother Olaf, the president has just resigned and he's requested, and the cabinet and the Congress and the representatives and all the people in America have just voted unanimously for you to be the president of these great United States of America. Why, in a single second, I'd say, I can't stand the demotion. I mean, I could not go down to be the president when God's called me up to be a preacher. I'm not bragging except on the Lord. What a tremendous call and honor it is to be in the ministry. Think about it. Souls hanging in the balance. I've got the most important task and calling in the world is to get people saved. Well, I'm going to see my products throughout eternity. The president will see his in time. I'll see mine in eternity. Oh, listen, the highest calling in this world is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'd like to say two or three things. The first thing, the second thing about it, not only am I called, but Jesus came to preach. That was His business. As the Father sent me in the world, even so send I you. He sent Him to preach. He sent me to preach. And then something else. God gave me a special book to preach. He wrote one book for me to preach out of, and that's all I need. I don't need anything else. Just need one book. He gave me one book. He said, now I'm going to give you all the sermons you'll ever need. You'll find them in my book. He gave me a special book to preach out of. He gave me a special calling. And then he gave me a special place. He always leads and guides and puts me in some place to preach the gospel. And he chose the foolishness of preaching. I didn't understand that for a long time. Not foolish preaching now, but the foolishness of preaching.
Would it seem foolish to you? I went and knocked on some doors, some big two-story houses over there on Furman, and some friends that I've known through the years. And what if the house had been burning down? It would seem foolish for me to stand there and beg the people to come out, wouldn't it? I would. Or if necessary, I'd go in and drag them out. I really would. Even if I broke a leg dragging them, I'd get them out. Why? That doesn't sound foolish. Wouldn't have to do that. And yet, that's exactly what I've stood doing. I've tried to beg you little old girls to come out of the fire. That's right. An eternal fire. I've tried to get y'all out of sin that'll burn you up and wreck your life and spit in your face when you're down and stomp you into the ground. Why, we took a woman to the first city of refuge we ever had. We offered her love and we offered her salvation, and she thought she's getting along pretty good. She said, I'm strong enough to go back to Kansas City. She went back to Kansas City. We told her, said, you haven't stayed 90 days. You're not ready. You're not strong enough. You have no business going back. We pled, we begged. And that woman, listen, when she was so weak, when they brought her down, they had to pick her up, and put her in the truck. The old truck was coming down, and she couldn't even stand. She was so weak, and she got built up physically and got strong, and the glow of health came back to her cheeks, but she went pat. They found her all right, and her head was completely missing. The devil's crowd had stomped every bit of her head off of her shoulders. That's the devil's crowd for you. We wouldn't have been that rough on her, would we? No, we loved her and preached to her and fed her and brought her to health, you see. Isn't the devil a deceiver? Can you imagine? Just think of the people. These hands and all my toes put together couldn't count the people that have left and turned their back. They're dead right now. And then I could take another bunch of fingers and toes, and that wouldn't count near all of the boys and the girls that left in rebellion that are in the prisons today, right now. Serving hard time, locked up! Among criminals. Why? They turned their back on the light that the Lord. They turned their back on the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I'd like to say something to the preachers before I close. I believe, preachers, we're going to have to make more of the Word of God. I went into a preacher's church. He didn't even bring his Bible. It reminded me of a carpenter going out on the job without a hammer and a saw. Reminded me of a fisherman going fishing, didn't have any rod or reel. Reckon why he forgot it. It don't mean much to him. See? Now, I guarantee you, it wasn't because he could quote it, because I'll promise you this. I'll guarantee you, and I really believe I'm right. If that preacher were called on to preach, to quote five chapters of the Word of God, he couldn't do it to save his life. Preachers, we're going to have to get back in this book. I need to live in this book. And there's no way to live by faith except to live in this book. Brother, when we get to where we can't live by faith, we ought to die and get out of this thing. If we ever have to have a financial racket and a bunch of budgets and cards and pledges, then far as I'm concerned, let's close up shop! God still cares for His own.
We're happy you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. Our message today was Running Short on Preachers. Now, to receive this message, ask for offer number RO 3245. To help us cover shipping and handling, we ask for a gift of $10. We'd also like to have today's date and the call letters to the radio station that you are now listening to. To order by credit card, it's 1-800-772-7507. And our address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. With Christmas rapidly approaching, our special offer this year is An Old-Fashioned Christmas by the Rebecca Choir and Brother Roloff reading the Christmas story. Plus, While He Thought, a message about Joseph and Mary at the time of Christ's birth. Some of the most familiar songs are O Come Let Us Adore Him, O Come All You Faithful, and many, many more. We accept credit cards by calling 1-800
772-7507, or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. Now, to receive the music and the message, include at least $15 for the offer. That's $15. And the offer number is RO335-12. Or again, the offer is an old-fashioned Christmas. Offer number 335-12. And include a gift of at least $15. Our toll-free number is 1-800-772-7507. And the address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. This is Gene Price, hoping that you all will have a wonderful holiday season, that you can worship and praise Him for His many, many blessings.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.